battle. There was a battle between hope and faith.
There always is.
And faith won. Because you cannot continue on as a Christian saying, I hope so, I hope so, I hope it'll turn out. That hope has got to turn into faith at some point, or you will never be a victorious Christian. And so in hope against hope, he believed. He finally believed. His hope turned to faith. Because faith is believing, it's possessing, it's knowing, it's actually owning that thing then. He owned that promise of God.
See, I see so many people, Barbara and I have been there in the past, where you hope and hope and you cope and you cope, but you don't win.
You don't win.
You just go around in circles saying, you know, all you're doing is looking at the options. Well, you need to decide there's one option, and that's faith, and that's God's way. And, excuse me, I'm going to bring my whole inner self into compliance with this, and I'm going to be an overcoming faith person.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I want to be a hot dog, but because that's what God wants.
That's right. And he looked at his situation. He looked, and you are going to look at your situation. Those of you who are listening, you have a situation in your life. You're going to look at that situation. You're going to see how anemic it is. You're going to see how impossible it is. You're going to see that without God, you can't do it. That's exactly what Abraham did. He said he contemplated his own body, but listen to verse 19, without becoming weak in faith. He looked at that situation in the natural, but he did not weaken in his faith because he had the word in him. He had God's word in him to keep him pumped up. And that's why Darren and I are here. We want to keep you pumped up in the word so that even though you look at it, your impossible situation, you will not become weak in faith.
Well, it says in verse 19, I'm going to put the two of them together here, 19 and 20. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what he had promised he's able to perform. So he focused totally on what God had said.
That's right.
And he became stronger and stronger in faith. And then the consideration of his natural circumstances, his old body, his wife's old body, beyond childbearing years. See, they didn't get over into reason.
That's right.
They didn't get over into jaw-jacking about, oh, well, this is what's going on here. You know, how could this ever be? Why? I tell you, I just can't. Why we're going to have kids? I just can't. They didn't get into that kind of conversation.
Mm-mm.
Or I believe it would have been recorded here.
Do you think when they went to bed, they said, now, do you think this is going to work?
Well, I don't know, Barb. I don't know. No, I really believe that by faith they walked that out.
That's right, they did.
And I believe they were lovers late in life.
They increased
in faith. And they fathered
faith.
A child.
Amen.
A child of promise.
You have 3 points here that you bring up quite often that we can use God's power, authority, and ability. And those are so important. And I believe that's what Abraham stood on, Darren. God's power, his authority in Abraham's life, and his ability to do what he said he would do.
You really have to put those three together. I honestly believe. And I look for that all the time. And many times I pray in the Spirit and I ask Holy Spirit, reveal to me, give me a revelation of God's power, of his authority, of his ability in this situation. Because with his authority, you can overcome those things that are in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're talking here about moving mountains. Moving mountains. You have to become an asker. And in the New Testament, there's that wonderful little three-letter word called ask.
Mm-hmm.
And he says at one point, you don't have because you didn't ask.
Mm-hmm.
Ask that your joy may be full. Ask, ask, ask. Ask in my name that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He's saying that. Ask. And whatever you ask, that I will do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I love John chapter 14, 15, and 16. And when he's saying to us, you didn't choose me, I chose you and appointed you, get this, Barbara, appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking all the way through the Gospels about you using your mouth to proclaim things, to declare things, to speak to mountains, to ask God for things. You're to get your mouth sanctified and go for it.
That's right. And I believe that asking, Darren, you were alluding to Matthew 7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. We cannot, those three were given in timely fashion. They are not supposed to be knocking first and then asking. And some people trying to knock down their doors and knock down their mountains before they ask. And God just showed me the other night. He said, now when you and Darren went out looking for a house, you asked me first, and I said you could own one. And he said, Darren actually I don't know if you remember asking God, but you were probably, God told me this in my secret time the other day, that you were given two possibilities. God, are we going to rent or are we going to own? And God says, you can own. And so you asked him, and he told you the answer. You sought. You sought. You didn't seek to go looking at rentals anymore. You went seeking to look at homes to buy.
Well, you know, during the early days there, when I was trying to get all this sorted, I made a call on a rental. And after I hung up the phone, I knew I had done the wrong thing. Well, God said, you're going to own. Mm-hmm. You're no longer going to be leasing here. I want you to get established, get your office established, and I don't want you to be subjected to any eviction anymore on a 30-day basis, because that had happened to us in the month of August. At the last two homes that we'd leased.
That's right.
I mean, we got a surprise notice. Hey, before you thought that, or you thought you're going to be able to live here quite a while, no, you're out of here because we got other ideas for the house.
Yeah.
Even though we'd paid our rent right on time every month.
Yes, we have to ask God first, and then we seek what God has told us to seek. And then we knock. And it's so important that we don't do the seeking and the knocking. And I know some people, Darren, that do the seeking first. They don't talk with God first. They don't talk over their situation with him. They just go out and try to knock down all the walls and everything, and it's not going to happen without that confirmation from God and that agreement with God.
Well, you can get into reason and say, well, what are my options here? Maybe I ought to play the odds. Maybe I ought to just play the odds here. Well, what are the odds here? No, that isn't the way to do it. You need to be led by the Spirit of God, and you can ask him for direction. Say, God, I don't seem to have this sorted very well. What plan do you have for me? What is your plan A for me in this situation? You know he'll give that to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want you to advance the tape to the end of this side of the message, and we'll begin on side two. We're going to go for it and moving mountains.